Hello, sons, and hello, brothers. It's time again for Stuff I Want to Say, mostly to men. We are in a series of podcasts right now, Becoming Dangerous Men. And maybe this is the third in the series. This is going to be a bonus episode, but I think I'm just going to weave it right into the regular podcast. And I want to talk to you today about a very important skill a man will never be dangerous without. A man without this skill cannot be really a factor in the great war for men's souls, in the great conflict of the ages. And that skill is the skill of listening. And I want to talk to you about 8 reasons to improve your listening skills, or 8 things that happen when a man listens well, when he trains himself, and when he teaches himself to listen well. Stay with me. Listen to what I'm saying. Stay with me. This is very, very powerful. Much more powerful than you probably realize. And I speak both from experience and from a really careful study of the scriptures. And so I'm going to do both. I'm going to testify today about what happens when you're lacking in your listening skill, and what happens when you get it right in terms of your listening skill. But more importantly than that, I'm going to show you passage after passage of scripture that helps us to understand the great power of listening well. And it might surprise you. Again, I'm going to organize my thoughts around 8 things that happen when you listen well, or you could say 8 reasons to improve your listening skills. So that's what we're going to do today. So welcome to Stuff I Want to Say, mostly to men. Hope you're having a great week. Hope things are going well for you. But this is something I want to put in your toolbox, no extra charge. Something that you'll reach in again and again, maybe every single day of your life, and you'll get this out. Something I really wish, if I could start over, I would concentrate. I had warnings, I had wisdom, I had instructors about this, but still, if I could do it again, I would work hard to develop these things. And here are 8 reasons why today. 8 reasons to improve your listening skills. Are you ready? Here we go. Gentlemen, here is what the scriptures say in James 1:19-20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Can you imagine the conviction I feel when I read something like that? Because I'm kind of quick to talk. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak. All right, James 1:19-20. Here's Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. He who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. Oh, how many times have I done that? Eager to talk, not eager enough to listen. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Let's go over those again. James 1:19-20. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I heard once about a man who's really nervous about going to a party to meet his wife's coworkers. He was a pretty common man, and the folks at the party were pretty well educated and pretty high octane people, and he was just a simple man, so he's really intimidated about meeting his wife's coworkers. So on the way to the party, he decided to try something. He decided that he would just listen to people, and then when they got done talking, he would just summarize what they said. That way he wouldn't have to come up with any new material. He just listened, and he just summarized what they said. So no one mentioned or seemed to notice that he never told his own opinions or said much of anything about himself. Now, on the way home, his wife mentioned that her coworkers said, "Wow, your husband is just so charismatic." And another one said, "He's so articulate." But all he did was listen and repeat what he heard. There's power in that. Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive." There it is again. Proverbs 17:28. "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive." Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what about those eight things? What about those eight things? I want to be careful about this, and I don't want to do a lot of this. I tend to apologize for myself too much. I'm sorry about that. And I kind of overdo the self-deprecating humor sometimes, like I'm doing right now. But I do want to tell you a story about something that happened to me many years ago, and it was like God sent a messenger into my life. Have you ever had God send a messenger into your life? Now think about this. That's the word for angels, a messenger. And sometimes God sends literal angels into our life to warn us or to encourage us. And sometimes God sends a person, a wife, a child, a father, a mother, a coworker, a friend, a stranger, into our life. And if we're careful and we listen carefully, we realize God, in his kindness, is sending us a message. And when God has a message for us, my, we want to be all ears. We want to hear what God has to say. So many years ago that I'm embarrassed to admit it, I had a coworker, a dear coworker, who's been a lifelong friend, and to this day, a lifelong friend. And his name is Jim. I won't say his last name because I wouldn't want you to think ill of him, although he did nothing wrong. This was a very great kindness, and he did everything right. But anyway, this fine friend was, we worked together, and he was going to be moving on to another place of ministry. And he said, "Hey, before I leave, can we have a talk?" And I said, "Well, that'd be great." He goes, "Why don't I just come over and pick you up?" And so he drove over that day in his car. I remember that summer evening he drove over, and I went out and got in his car, and we just sat there in his car and we talked. And he goes, "I just wanted to have a private conversation with you because there's something I just wanted to tell you that I thought would really be a help to you." And then he went on to say, you know, I was a young guy. I was in my 20s. I was in my early 20s. And he went on to say, I've watched you and I've watched what you do. And I just think you have such amazing potential for God to communicate and to minister, and you just have a lot of potential, and I just see you doing really great things for God. But there's something that I've also noticed about you that's a kind of a blind spot, and if you would understand, I think it would make you even more effective than you are. And I wondered if you'd want to know what that is. And I said, yeah, I mean, in my insides, I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that because it's really hard for me to receive criticism. I want to be defensive or explain myself. But I knew better. So I said, no, I'd really appreciate hearing this. And he goes, I want you to understand that I haven't told a soul this, but I haven't told my wife. I've never said anything to her about it. I've never said anything to anybody. You're the first person that I have ever said this to. And I appreciate that. It's so, so rare, such a rare and wonderful thing. And so then he said, A lot of times I don't feel like you listen to me well. You have a lot of neat things to say and I want to hear them, but he says, but I feel like you didn't listen to me. Immediately I thought, well, you really don't talk, you know? So my tendency is in any lull in any bit of silence, I need to kind of fill it up with something. It's kind of a bad mistake because some people are a little slower, obviously, to put their thoughts into words, and you got to just give them time, and you have to listen, and that's not something I was good at. It's something I'm still working on, and that was many years ago, and I remember him telling me that, and it had a great impact on me, and I feel like I learned a lot. Not long ago, I was having breakfast with a guy and talking with him and listening to him and telling him what he said and answering his questions. And he says to me, he goes, you know, I kind of feel like you're sort of a professional listener. Now, I don't know. This guy might have been trying to give me a good reputation to live up to. I like to believe he was sincere. I don't know. Like I said, he might have been trying to help me to listen more. And I've had close loved ones that tell me that they love to hear me talk. Love to hear what I have to say, but also sometimes longed for me to just quietly listen to them. And so I'm speaking out of, this is a testimony, but I'm about to show you more scriptures, which are very, very powerful. And but I wanted to give a personal testimony. There's sort of an ache in my soul when I think of my loved ones, my wife, who's heard me say millions of words and millions of words, and my children, who are very precious to me, and I'm precious to them. They love me, all eight of them. They love me. They'll say that. And a few of them have actually been kind enough to and bold enough to privately say, yeah, no, that I think, Dad, this, and you're just, this is who you are. You say things, but I long for you to listen. And some in painful exchanges, one of my children told me one day, I feel like I've listened to you for years, Dad, and I just need you to listen to me. And that child had things that I needed to hear that I didn't know. And it took him years to tell me those things. What is it in your world that you really need to know that would be very helpful for you to know, that your loved ones know that you don't know and they haven't been able to express it to you because you haven't really carefully listened? So here we go. Here are the eight powerful reasons to improve your listening skills. Dangerous men are really powerful listeners. Number one, you listen because listening sometimes diffuses anger. When people are angry and you listen, that often, that's what the Bible says in the wisdom section of the Bible. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer, see it, turns away wrath. Listening and answering in a soft way, minimal way, can turn away wrath. Powerful. We live in an angry world. Maybe we should listen more. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. That's interesting. Sometimes I have this frustrating message that kind of courses through my mind. Maybe it's my flesh, and I think, they're not listening to me. They're not listening to me. I wish they would listen to me. And then there's another message that comes through my mind from the Spirit of God. Go listen to them. Learn the power of being a listening pastor. If I want them to listen to me, and they need to listen to me, I need to listen to them. And so there you are. Why do we listen? One reason is, obviously, to diffuse anger, to help people with their anger, with their hurts. Number two, eight powerful reasons to improve your listening skills. Eight things that happen when you listen. One, you diffuse anger. Two, you listen to love people. It's a way of loving people. Listening is a way of loving people. For many, it is the most powerful way to love people. But listen, Philippians 2:3-5, Listen to what Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, that was Jesus' mind. Imagine, very God. But Paul wrote, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves, and let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have the mind in you that was in Christ. So this is, obviously, this is what listeners do. They say, no, you're more important than I am. I'm not just interested in my stuff. I'm interested in your stuff. Michael Card is an amazing Christian musician and Bible teacher. Goodness, is he a Bible teacher. If you want to listen to a very powerful podcast, it's full of music and song and instruments and wisdom and Bible teaching, listen to In the Studio with Michael Card. Anyway, Michael Card tells a story about how his dad was a really busy doctor with a lot of pressure on him, and Michael was always wanting his attention and wanting his love, and so when his dad would come home in the evening, he would often be under such pressure that he would just go into his study, he would close the door, and he would lock the door. And Michael said he would draw pictures and he'd slide them under the door to just try to get his dad to listen to him, to commit to hear him and to love him. And if you're ever in concert with Michael Card, he'll probably say something like, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm sliding pictures under the door and hoping that people will love me. When I like to think of myself as a storyteller. I love to think of myself as a storyteller. It gives me delight when people say, oh yeah, Ken is a storyteller. And so when our first grandchildren got old enough to listen to my stories, that was something I was really looking forward to. I happened to be speaking at a camp on a lake in Michigan, not too far away from where some of my older grandsons were living for the summer. And what I did was I told stories to the children at camp, and then that evening I would go and I'd spend the night with my son and daughter-in-law and the boys, and I would get a chance to tell them stories. So I was really excited about telling them stories, and I would go and I would tell them a story, and then I would go to maybe be in the middle of the story, or I'd start to tell another story. And here's what I noticed that I never anticipated somehow from raising my own children, and that is that when I told them stories, they didn't just listen passively. They jumped right in and wanted to tell me their stories. And I realized the power of listening is super important, that you don't just tell, but you listen. So you listen to love. If you want to love little grandsons and little granddaughters, you get them to tell you their story. I'm learning that they have little stories to tell. And that might be as important or more important than listening to me. Scriptures say, my son, give me your heart. There's a lure of listening. I've often heard it said that infidelity destroyed a marriage, not because of the lure of sexual pleasure, but because of the willingness of another man or another woman to listen deeply. I remember years ago when our son Wesley, hi Wesley, if you're listening, man, Wesley's a plumber in Dallas area with two little girls and a little boy and a wife, obviously. And Wes listens to the podcast. Busy dude, works a lot of hours, works hard. He's a really great plumber. He's a really great guy. And he catches up on the podcast every once in a while. He'll text me, hey, I'm caught up on the podcast. So, hey, if you're listening, Wes, love you, man. When Wes was just little, he's an affectionate guy. When he's little, he's real affectionate. And he loved it if you touched him and held him. And once he was laying on the floor in the living room and he's drawing pictures. And I said to him, hey, what are you drawing there? And I picked him up on my lap and held him on my lap. And then he just explained his little picture. And I remember I said, what is that? What are you drawing? What is that picture? And I remember him saying, well, see that right there, that's the river. And then right there, that's the tent. And those guys, these guys are camping out. And I said, well, who's that? It was a little stick figure, a big stick figure. And he said, that's you. And I said, who's that? And it was a little stick figure. He goes, that's me. I go, oh, that's you and me camping together by the river. And he goes, yep. I thought that was really sweet. And I let him down from my lap, and he went over and he drew some more. And then pretty soon he said, hey, Dad, you want to hold me in your lap and ask me to explain what I'm drawing again? His little heart longed for connection, touching, and for listening. I had a family in my church once from Romania, very fascinating, godly people. And I still remember them well in a former church, and they knew the Lord. They loved the Lord. I went to visit their home one day, and they told me while I was visiting that their children had recorded a CD of music. And I said to them, well, do you have a copy? Of course they had a copy. Do you have a copy of it? I would just love to hear your children sing. And they said, well, yeah, we do. Are you sure you have time? We can play you a song from, I go, absolutely. I mean, these people sat and listened to me talk for hours, Sunday morning, Sunday night. They were very devout, very faithful, humble, godly Romanian people. So they got this CD on their music player, and they played a song, and I listened and talked about it a little bit and said, that was so beautiful. Can I listen to another one? And they like, do you have time? I go, yes. And so I kind of realized, if you want to love these people, listen to them. But if you want to really love them, listen to their kids and their grandkids. And it was, of course, beautiful, neat music. And so we sat there that afternoon, and I listened to their whole CD. And then I think we had some maybe zucchini bread that she had made from fresh zucchini from her garden, and coffee. And we had a nice conversation. And I felt a deep bond of love with those people especially after I took time to listen, because listen is a way to show love. So why do we listen? One thing is listening well diffuses anger, and listening well is a way to love. Now, the third reason to listen is because listening to understand is a great way to understand and show honor. Maybe those are two different things, but we'll put them together. Listening to understand and show honor. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7 that husbands are likewise should dwell with them and their wives in an understanding way, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Understand and honor. Understand and honor. See it? As the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So there's just a lot there. But I'll just emphasize this phrase, understanding and giving honor. Let's read it again. Husbands, this is 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, dangerous men, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You want the gifts that God is willing to give you, and you want your prayers to be answered, then you want to honor your wife. Then if you want to honor your wife, you need to understand her. And if you are going to understand her, you have to listen to her. So we listen to diffuse anger, and we listen to love, and we listen to show honor, to understand showing honor. One shows honor by listening to understand. Are you tracking with me? So powerful this is. Listen to understand and show honor. So we're at number four. Listen to learn. Listen to learn. Proverbs 19:27 says, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You stop listening, you're going to stray. Proverbs 2:1-4. You can learn while you're talking, but you can't learn without listening and attending, or paying careful attention, or asking specific questions. So what I want you to hear now is Proverbs 2:1-4. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, and making your ear attentive to wisdom inclining your heart to understanding. You see that? The listening there. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, and seek it like silver, and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth come wisdom and understanding, and he stores up wisdom, sound wisdom for the upright. My, this is something that a man should covet, should desire. You can learn while you're talking, but you can't learn without listening and attending, paying careful attention. Ask questions, summarize, don't interrupt. God help me. Listen to learn. I've noticed that Lois, my wife Lois, is a better listener than I am, and she often learns more. She discovers more and understands things better sometimes because she's a better listener. She doesn't talk as much, so she learns more. So sometimes we'll have a meeting or we'll bump into a friend, so we'll talk, and then she'll say, this is what they said, this is what they meant. And I'll say, no. And then I'll check back with them. Sure enough, she understood them better because she listened better. I had an interesting occasion to interview a potential worship pastor. Now, the guy, we never hired him. He was a fascinating, is a fascinating guy. He doesn't live too far from here. And I remember driving to the barbecue restaurant, and on the way, I remember thinking, let him talk. Don't interrupt him. Just let him run with the bait, if you will. And it was so interesting because he's probably as verbal as I. And so we sat down over barbecue, and I said to him, hey, I'd like to get to know you. And here's what he did. He says, let me tell you about myself. And when I'm done, you will see that I'm probably not your guy. But if you still feel like I am, then we can talk about that. And then he just basically kind of opened up, and in chronological order, he told his life story and kind of what he believed. And when he got all done, it was quite a lengthy thing. It was very insightful, very, very interesting and good to hear. When he got all done, I said, okay, two things. Number one, you're right, and we're not going to hire you. You shouldn't be working with me in that capacity. You should keep doing what you're doing. And number two, I'm sure we're going to be friends and our paths will cross again. And not many years after that, I went through a dark and difficult season, and he called me, not knowing anything about it. He happened to call me on the first day of that, and we talked, and I discovered that he was secretly kind of an expert in the very area of the thing that I was going through. And so powerful thing, this listening. And I'm sure that when I was on the way to that barbecue restaurant and I had that quiet voice saying, let him talk, that was the Lord. Listen to God. He may tell you to listen to somebody. Let them talk, because you will learn when you listen. So four powerful things that happen when you listen. One, you diffuse anger. Two, you love. Three, you understand as a way of showing honor. Four, you learn. You learn by listening. Number five, you listen to guide and teach and protect. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. You want to understand, he just wants to, I want you to understand how I feel. Well, that's great, but do you understand how they feel? So with our children and people under our care that we want to give direction to, we want to guide them, we want to teach them, we want to protect them, so we kind of want to sit them down and want to tell them stuff. I often feel like if I could just open their heart and put this inside their heart, if I could get them to think the right things and say the right things. But the way to do that, it's counterintuitive. One of the powerful tools to get someone, to guide someone, to teach someone, to protect someone, is to ask them insightful questions and get them to talk, to understand them. But a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And little boy is always distracted. Little boys are easily distractible. I have had four of these little boys, little girls too. I remember sometimes wanting to get down on my knees and take that little round face in my hands and just hold it and say, look at me, listen to me, look at me and listen to me. But what you want to imagine is they're holding your face in their hands and they're saying, Daddy, listen to me, look at me, listen to me. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what we would learn about our wives if we would attend to them more, if we would ask them follow-up questions about things they said to us. It'd be really interesting. A boy once came in, a young man came in to apply for a job in the Christian ministry that I was directing. It was a huge 500-room hotel in downtown Flint. And he came in with a black trench coat and unkempt hair. And he says, man, I don't have a job, but he says, you guys hiring? You guys hiring? And I said, well, you know, I don't have a job for you right now, but I'd be glad to sit down with you, give you a little bit of coaching about how you can get a job. Because my dad did that for me, and I thought it was really powerful. And he goes, oh, no, I already know that. I just want to see if you're hiring. Well, he had shown me that he didn't know the first thing about getting a job. You don't walk in and go, hey, are you hiring? Not at all. This is just come. He didn't shake my hand. He didn't look me in the eye. He didn't have a prepared resume. He didn't do any research ahead of time. He didn't ask the right questions. He was unprepared to work for us, and a foolish young man. I already know what I wanted to know. I'm just asking if you're hiring. Well, he didn't work with us. I'm not sure where he did work. Scriptures say over and over again in Proverbs, listen, my son. And if you want your son to listen, listen to your son. Super important. As a fellow named Chris Brown, who pastors on the West Coast, he's an amazing preacher and storyteller. And he said he picked a kid up from school one day because they were having trouble. The mom said, man, my kid, you know, we're having trouble and my kid's misbehaving and he's not doing what I ask him to do. Would you talk to him? So Chris picks him up from school and he says to the kid, he says, do you remember, how does your mom listen to you? You know, do you ever have good conversations with your mom? She had said, we talk every day. We talk a lot. We have lots of good conversations. And so he said to Chris, wondering if the boy had the same view about, he says, you and your mom, do you have good conversations? And he says, not really. She talks to me a lot, but you know, she doesn't really listen to me much. And he says, do you remember a time when she listened carefully to you? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, one time I was in the second grade and she had some dental work done and she had to hold her teeth together for a few hours. He said it was kind of neat because she didn't say anything. She just listened, but not since then. I once talked to a young man who went out to talk with his youth pastor. And I was really eager to hear what he had to say about his visit with his youth pastor. And, you know, he's a quiet boy, so he wasn't really eager to say things. And the youth pastor is real smart and bright and had a lot of things to say. And I said to him, so how'd that go? And he goes, yeah, it was good. And I go, what'd you guys talk about? He goes, well, I didn't really talk. I just listened. He kind of did all the talking. And I thought, well, you know, he couldn't learn about this boy unless he really listened. He had a lot to teach him, but he couldn't really learn unless he listened. You can't learn unless you listen. Listening is a way to learn and a way to guide and a way to teach and a way to protect others. And you can't be a dangerous man without listening to people, because you can't guide and protect people unless you do that. I think it might have been Chris Brown who told the story about how When his boy was 8 years old, he was all wired up about talking about World of Warcraft. And he wasn't interested in it at all. And he thought to himself, man, I'm really not interested. But he listened carefully to the boy talking about World of Warcraft. And he listened for hours while the boy just went on and on. And somebody said, you know, why did you do that? And he said, because when he's eight, he wants to talk about World of Warcraft. When he's 15, I want him to heed my warnings and value my instructions. And so the scriptures say, listen, my son. The Bible doesn't say for me to listen to you. The Bible says for you to listen to me. But I have been young and now I'm old. And when you're young now, but you've never been old, so you need to listen to me. But if they don't tend to open up and discover and reveal the secrets of their hearts until we've shown them by example how to deeply listen and to attend. You see what I'm saying? So he said, I listen to my boy at 8 because he's going to need to listen to me at 15. And so hear me out here. The scriptures over and over again say children should listen to their fathers. So yeah, they should sit down and listen. But how are they going to do that unless they have an example of listening? Do you see that? So as we listen, we're showing them what they should do for us, and that is listen to us. And there'll be great blessing in their life if they learn to listen. They learn to listen. They learn listening by watching you listen. So we listen to learn, but we also listen to guide and teach and protect. And number 6, we listen to help and heal. Let's review. Number 1, listen to diffuse anger. Number 2, listen to love. Number 3, listen to understand and show honor. Number 4, listen to learn. Number 5, listen to guide and teach and protect. Number 6, listen to help and to heal. Proverbs 20 and verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Or you could put a man who listens and repeats what he heard until he understands will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of a child, in the heart of a wife, it's like deep water, but a man of understanding, a dangerous man who listens, will draw it out. Listening has a profound therapeutic value. Everyone admits this who works in matters of mental health will say there are a lot of different ways of listening, but all of them are therapeutic. In other words, just listening to someone can often help them profoundly. Just listening, not even giving them counsel, just listening. So we want to practice deep listening because we listen to help and heal. We listen to the emotions and the message behind the words. And sometimes we can even help people untangle what they're feeling that they don't understand. We listen physically. We listen emotionally. We listen spiritually. We lean forward. We look into their eyes. We pray for insight and understanding. And the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And a man of understanding will listen and draw it out, if you will. Listen is not in the scripture, but you're just saying Proverbs 20 and verse 5. There's a Christian ministry, a counseling ministry in Brown County, Indiana. Beautiful part of central southern Indiana. And I once went there as an advocate for a person who was going there for counsel. And he's a friend, and he's given me permission to tell this story. I was not the counselor. I was not going to be asked to give input. I was the person to help the counselee, their advocate. So it was unique because usually I'm asked for counsel, and you know I talk a lot. But in this weekend, we would go down to this cabin, and we would stay in this cabin. Each of us had our separate rooms. And it was the wintertime. There was a fireplace, and a counselor came in. And the counselor listened. He's a professional counselor, very sharp, biblical counselor, and he listened carefully. And after hours and hours of listening, he also gave some additional questions and biblical instruction and assignments and such. But my job was just to listen and listening to the whole life story, and this counselor took the young man and took him through his entire life story like 5 years at a time. And while I sat there, my eyes just welled up with tears because I thought everybody should have somebody listen this deeply to their life. And it's obvious, things come out obviously when you listen that systematically and carefully and professionally and deeply to a person. It was a powerful thing to just sit there for hours and to hear that and to listen. And some things became obvious to everybody in the room, to the counselee, to the counselor, and to myself. Because there's power in listening to help and heal. And finally, number 7, listen to reconcile and resolve conflict. This is huge. You know, Matthew 18, 15 through 17 talks about an actual kind of formula to resolve conflict. And part of the phrase is, and if he does not listen, listening is a powerful way to reconcile and resolve conflict. And usually, if you, you know, as we talked about giving the talking stick or doing the drive-through ordering where you say what the person said after you listen until they agree that you understand it. And we've talked about this before, but this is powerfully important. Listening, repeating what they said until they agree you understand, giving them the talking stick. This is like listening sessions. And then you listen and you talk, tell them what they said until they agree. And then now you have something to work on to resolve the conflict and to reconcile. Listening, reconciliation, and conflict resolution will almost never happen unless there's careful attention, careful listening. So why do we listen? Well, there are for many reasons. This is a command of Scripture, but we listen to diffuse anger, and we listen to show love, and we listen to show honor by understanding, and we listen to learn, and we listen to guide and teach and protect. And we listen to help, and we listen to heal, and we listen to reconcile and resolve conflict. Here's number 8. We listen to communicate the gospel effectively. This is huge. Assume that everyone has something on their heart that they like to talk about, but they won't usually say it until they know that you're genuinely interested in them. This man in the airport had to sit with a stranger because the restaurant was crowded. So he was sitting there, and there's a woman next to him, and he began to listen to her, began to talk with her, and began to listen to her. And when he showed that he was sincerely interested, the woman just blurted out, "My son has cancer." Started to tell her story. Maybe you've heard this story. I kind of love this story, but the guy went in a coffee shop, wanted to give the gospel. So he said, "I'll buy you a cup of coffee if you listen to my story." And I don't think anybody asked him for a cup of coffee. "I'll buy you coffee if you listen to my story." He said, "Well, this isn't working." Then he had another idea, and he changed his sign. "I'll buy you a cup of coffee if you tell me your story." Well, he had people coming to his table all day long, eager to tell their story. I like to say powerful evangelism can happen with 3 stories: their story, your story, the story. Get them to tell their story. Briefly tell your story about how you were saved. Third, after you've listened for hours, if necessary, to their story, and continue to listen in many sessions to their story, tell your story, the brief story of how you came to faith in Christ and the gospel. And then the ultimate thing would be that then you would be able to give them the story. So the story of the gospel, which is the story they most need, but don't know they need. But when you listen to someone tell your story, then you can see the cracks where the gospel goes in. I was doing a funeral Monday, and a man participated in the funeral. And one of the first things he said is, "We're broken, but you know, the cracks are where the light can get in." And when you listen to somebody, you know where the cracks are. You feel around their edge of their soul until you find the cracks. That's where the gospel goes in. That's the unique application of the gospel for that person. You only know it when you listen carefully. And you've heard it said over and over again, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you probably have heard the phrase, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. This is true, of course, in evangelism. If they don't listen to someone explain the gospel, they will spend eternity in hell. So let me ask you a question. Who do you think is more likely to have an opportunity to have a gospel conversation? A person who never listens, or a person who has carefully, frequently listened? When you listen to a person and attend to what they said and how they feel, they often say things that are wrong. But a careful listener can use listening to feel around the edges of their soul, find out what lies are embedded deep in their heart, and then often they don't even need to know what it is. A good listener can expose that and show where the gospel fits. So when you listen well, you diffuse anger. When you listen well, you make people feel loved. When you listen well, you show honor. When you listen well, you learn. When you listen well, you teach. When you listen well, you help and heal and counsel. When you listen well, you reconcile and resolve conflict. When you listen well, you get a hearing for the gospel. When you listen well, you stay close to the Lord. You can hear from God. Warnings and comfort and counsel. Powerful. Dads, husbands, dangerous men, God help us to be skilled listeners and to grow in this skill all of our lives. Help us to listen to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would make us powerful listeners, skilled listeners, faithful listeners, humble, loving, understanding, meek listeners. Give us good questions to ask so that we can show love and help to the people that we love and that we're responsible for. Forgive us, Lord, when we have failed to listen and we've just tried to badger people with our opinions. Help us to see how ugly that is, how offensive that is, how insensitive that is, how ineffective that is. And help us, I pray, to be men who really know how to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I think of impactful men in my life, one of the guys I think about is a guy named Bob Dunbar, who's my brother-in-law. And Bob, when he was 61 years old, he went to be with the Lord, kind of young. That's a story for another day. But when I think about Bob, I think how insightful, how his mind works so well, was so logical, how he would, and the questions that he would ask. So even in an area he didn't understand, he asked perceptive questions. And after a while, with a person like that, what happens is you start to anticipate what they're going to ask you because you know them really well. And then you start to think a little bit like they think. It's like, oh, he's going to ask me this. What am I going to say? And in other words, a person who listens, who asks questions and listens, will, let's just say a dad who spends years asking questions and then listening, will have a powerful effect on a son who might move all the way across the country because he'll remember, oh, my dad is going to ask me this question, or he would have asked me that question, or he would have asked me this question, and what would I say to him? It's very powerful. So again, a part of this listening thing is being skillful in asking questions. And remember that Jesus, he was a master storyteller and a master teacher and an anointed preacher. But what was real, and he, of course, he healed people. My goodness, he gave sight to the blind. And he sacrificed his life on the cross for us. He rose again and ascended into heaven. But he asked questions. He asked questions. One of the most powerful things about our Jesus is that he asked insightful questions. And still he asked questions of our soul. And we would hear from him. And may God help you to be a powerful listener. I'd love to hear some feedback from you on these talks, these podcasts. I'd love it if you shared it with your friends so that we can widen the circle of our fellowship here, if that's of the Lord. If you're into this kind of thing, feel free to rate and review the podcast so more people hear it. But whatever happens, I trust that the most important thing is that before you're old like I am, you're still young and you still have years of opportunity ahead of you, that you learn to listen powerfully. Till next time, men, God bless you.